This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
We have to get into the Knicks still. Nick Friedell says they have to get a star. Bobby Marks says they have a lot of flexibility to get said star. We'll continue the Jets conversation. Obviously, the Mets and Yankees on the table. So 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Shooter in Stamford. Shooter, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, boys. Good morning, company. All right.
What do you got, Shooter?
Let's talk a little Aaron Rodgers, even though I'm a Giants fan. What do you guys think about the fact that Aaron Rodgers is moving to a new team? Do you think he actually prepares in the offseason kind of like Tom Brady, right? I know he's not going to be Tom Brady preparation, but do you think he actually prepares so he doesn't get off to, like, his historically bad start he's had in Green Bay the past couple of years where the press is always on him, right? Like, hey, what's going on? He always has to say, we're going to get it together. Don't worry. Like, I feel like if he did that, then 4-2 seems pretty doable. 3-3 would be almost bad if he prepared.
So you think he's ill-prepared? I mean, he wanted this deal to get done in advance so that he could get here and prepare and be with this team and focus on this season.
So you think he's going to actually meet somewhere this summer?
If he's not prepared, Shooter, this would be a catastrophic disaster of a season. If you get to the point where it's like the Jets are 2-4 and it leaks out that Aaron Rodgers is not prepared, do you understand how important this is for his legacy to come here and succeed?
I do, but do you think it's going to change something he's done his whole career? Like, his whole career, he never prepared. So he just shows up.
No. No, that's not right. That is incorrect. It was not his whole career that he didn't come up and show up and not prepare. When they drafted Jordan Love, things changed with his relationship with the organization. They thought he was done. He wasn't. So he decided that he was going to make it very difficult on them and be a real pain in the ass. And he paid the price. If you ask him when he's done, he probably paid the price. I mean, they didn't make the playoffs last year. Right? It's a bad look.
Terrible.
When I say prepare, though, guys, like, I mean, over the summer, going to dinner.
Well, I don't know that you need to go to dinner, but he better be fully prepared. He better know the playbook inside and out, and he better have some kind of a chemistry with these receivers.
He knows the playbook.
I mean, do you understand what happens if he comes here and he stinks it up?
Yes. It's not good.
He gets crushed.
And he's already talked about his legacy. Aaron Rodgers will be prepared. You've already seen him with his teammates, how they've reacted to him, what it means how they feel about their chances to win, the amount of confidence they have because he's their quarterback. Yeah, like, he's going to be ready. This was his decision. He wanted to be a Jet and understands that every eyeball in the NFL is going to be on him. And if we have success, it'll be about him. And if they don't, it'll all be about him.
That's right. If the Jets stink, who do you think is getting blamed?
Aaron Rodgers.
And if the Jets are great, who do you think is getting
all
the
credit? Aaron Rodgers.
That's right. Unless they somehow are winning games 17-12 continuously and then the defense. But yes, this is going to be Rodgers is heroic or Rodgers stinks and no in between.
And he knows that. The fact that he would say that he spent his whole career not...
I didn't say that.
No, that Shooter would say that. That he doesn't spend any time getting ready for a season is ridiculous.
Let's go to Jeff in Howard Beach. Good morning, Jeff. You're on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, guys? Morning.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, since that last DMT, you guys all destroyed my Dolphins by trashing them. I'm going to make this one a little harder if I can.
All right.
I want you to cut Amari Trash. Who would you want on your... Oh, simple. Who cut Amari Trash? D. Higgins, Garrett Wilson, and Mike Penguin.
Jalen Waddle. Who, Jalen Waddle? I'm going to trash T. Higgins because T. Higgins is clearly the number two there. You're not going to love this. I'm going to cuddle Waddle. I'm going to marry Garrett Wilson.
Come on, Dave.
Listen, I'm being honest with you. I love Jalen Waddle. Don't get me wrong. I just think that Garrett Wilson can be elite, elite.
And you want T. Higgins. You would take
T. Higgins. I think T. Higgins is terrific.
You would take him on the Giants in a heartbeat.
Of course I would. Yeah, him and Ayuk.
I still don't know how you're getting him, but...
At some point, you'll see.
If anyone can do it.
You'll see. We'll get that done.
You're tampering right now.
I can tamper. At least I'm not going after the NFL like some people on the show.
Cowards.
Right after the NFL.
He's an animal.
Raymond, you went right after the biggest league in the world.
I said what I said.
Right after them.
And he stands by it. He'll double down, triple down. It doesn't matter.
There were some people that were not thrilled with his attack of the NFL.
Like who? Name names.
Can you confirm that there were some people that were not thrilled?
One of the bosses, not happy.
Not happy that you did that.
Well, I didn't hear from them.
Well, because they're scared of you because you think you're, for some reason...
You're unstable.
You think you're a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. You think you're Raphael.
That's rich. Dave Rutherford telling me I'm unstable. That's rich.
How great was it yesterday? It's like, so what would you consider to be like your favorite movie? Like, if you happen to dip in as it's on, The Godfather, Reservoir Dogs, right? Jaws, Raymond, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I'm very easy to please. I don't need much.
The Turtles.
He's emotionally attached to the show. He told you. I mean, he said why. And he identifies with Raphael.
Raphael?
Short-tempered.
Yeah.
The tough one. Look at you retaining everything.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we listen to you. Because you speak,
I get to know you.
We digest it.
And apparently you're very easy to please. Another bonus. Women listening. Very easy to please. He should be married.
So you think you're married and it's just like the wife, she walks into just sainthood. Like it's just easy for her.
Listen, compared to some other people's situations, I would think so.
What does that mean?
I'm not going to throw out certain phrases.
You think I'm a difficult husband?
Handful. You know what's not a great thing to say on Mother's Day? Well, you're not my mother.
No, not at all.
You're like a third child.
I'm easy.
No, you're not.
You look all bothered. I'm easy.
No, really, you're not, though, because you really don't do anything. Outside of driving the kids around, you don't wash dishes.
I do.
Barely.
No. I empty the dishwasher, wash dishes. I do all that kind of stuff.
Do you do laundry?
No.
Okay.
That's different. That's not my purview.
All right. Do you pay bills?
No.
Okay. So tell me, I mean, Raymond does all these things.
You're a nice role player.
When Sherry, her car has an issue, who takes it in? Me.
Wait, but you're not fixing it. You're just driving it in.
Yeah, but I set up a time. I bring it in. I pay for it.
She could do all that. Listen, you have a place. You're Josh Hart. Nice player. Necessary.
Even. No, I think I go, like, I'm not coming off the bench. Hmm.
Yeah.
No.
You're like a PJ Tucker.
But Josh Hart is not difficult. He's a pleasure. Much like me.
Yeah, I like more like PJ Tucker. Like you stand in the corner and maybe take a shot once in a while.
He had 11 points. He had more points than Harden.
That's what Sherry's looking for you. 11 points.
11, that's it. 11. Easy.
I'm an elite husband, and you guys just don't get it.
She's looking for 11 points. Instead, she gets this.
You know what's not a great thing to say on Mother's Day? Well, you're not my mother.
You know what the thing is?
Why not say that? Here's the question.
Okay.
Why not say that leading up to Mother's Day?
I did.
Oh, yeah, you're right, you did. And then you said it on Mother's
right.
Day.
Right.
Yeah. I can't explain you.
Well, she's not my mother. I mean, what explanation do you need?
I think we get it.
Factually, she's not my mother.
Right, you don't have to bring it up.
So, fact though, why would I be the one that has all the celebrating to do?
First time, just burst in the room and say, "I don't owe you anything."
Yes,
just say that.
Steal my word.
I love it. I can't help it.
You love it. Secondly, Raymond's right. Like, why can't you just? We know, everyone knows she's not your mother. She didn't birth you.
Right.
But she birthed your beautiful children.
Absolutely.
And she takes care of them every single day.
Every day. So
and
then
you.
Really, isn't it more their responsibility to take care of this glorious woman?
No, it's both. It's all three of you. It's to celebrate mothers.
Oh, so we should just walk down the street and, excuse me, are you a mother? Yes, come on, we're celebrating people.
The mothers who have had an impact on your life.
I mean.
Oh.
The mother of your children
and
among
I did.
Them.
Yeah, which is exactly why you should have just kept your stupid mouth shut.
I can't do that.
Right. You need a muzzle. Second you leave the show, muzzle.
You need to start wearing the shock collar again. That's what you need to do.
When you
express the negative thoughts, the shock just comes down.
You guys are just boring. Gino in Albany. Gino, good morning. You're on 98.7.
What's up, guys? Perfect guy. I got to say, I was driving yesterday and I almost drove off the road when you literally doubled down and said that to your wife. I'm a 41-year-old single man, and I would never say that to a female.
Well, but you don't know what you'd say and what you wouldn't say. Just because you can't find the love of a woman, I say things that I mean.
Hey. And that's why we love you, Robert.
All right.
I got to say, man, between Nick last week ripping Ricky down and this, it's a great show.
Well, we appreciate the kind words, Gino.
No problem. And I expect my hug June 1st, by the way, Rothenberg.
Absolutely. He's coming to the tailgate from up in Albany. So we're very excited for that, to meet Gino. Yep.
Yes, sir. Anyway, I wanted to get to everyone's forgetting about the whole when Denver got Russell Wilson, they were going to go to the Super Bowl, this and that. I agree. You know, I guess the hype, you know what I mean? Everyone's forgetting Aaron Rodgers' new system. I know they got Nathaniel Hackett, but you never know what the team's going to do until they actually play football. But just wanted to throw that out there.
Of course you don't know. We have no idea what the Jets are going to be. Jets could go 16-1. Jets could go 8-9. We have no idea.
No, we have no idea. No, I mean, God forbid.
If you knew, it wouldn't be so exciting.
Right, but God forbid it looks anything like Denver looked. Or how bad Russell Wilson was.
I don't think you have to worry about that.
No, that's what he said, though.
Could you imagine that?
No.
Oh, my God.
No, and I don't think that Aaron has some of the same, you know, off-the-field kind of issues with his teammates.
But I've also never thought that Aaron Rodgers was not very good anymore.
We had a down year.
Russell Wilson had an awful season.
Okay, here's the thing, though. But a lot of what Russell Wilson went through and the excuse people were giving him was his finger. And he came back too fast from the finger. And they blame that. And it turns out that he was on the decline. And who knows and maybe Sean Payton helps that or fixes it.
It can't get worse.
No. And I don't know. I mean, Nathaniel Hackett was brought to Denver, it feels like, because they thought there was a chance to get Aaron Rodgers. Exactly what just happened here in New York. And he ended up with Russell Wilson. I mean, how much did Russell Wilson fit what he was trying to do? A lot of people
say... It was not a good fit.
All right. It wasn't a good fit.
Sean Payton's he's a brilliant offensive mind. They will look a lot differently this year. Their defense is good. They do have some weapons. If Russell Wilson can play well and be, you know, buoyed by Sean Payton, they'll be good this year.
Yeah, and their defense, yeah, they should be good. They have good weapons. But
I can't believe how many teams are in the AFC. Like, that's a
good
team.
Here comes the airplane.
That's
how many quarterbacks?
I mean, it's
look at all the quarterbacks.
So much talent in that.
Yeah, right. So, I mean,
for the AFC North.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's always 500 at the worst.
Cincinnati's terrific.
Cleveland will be better.
I think Cleveland's going to be good.
Baltimore's going to be good.
That's a terrifying division. Your division. If the worst team in your division is New England, that's how good your division is.
That's a good division.
You right?
Yeah. You get the West. You know, Oakland's going to be, Vegas is going to be better.
Should be. Kansas City's already locking in for 13.
Yeah. You got Herbert and the Chargers.
Chargers.
Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
You don't trust their head coach, but, I mean, Justin Herbert's great.
So much talent in that AFC.
Yeah. So you can't, you're going to have to win at least 10 games, at least, to get in the playoffs.
I think there's a chance 10-win teams do not get in from the AFC.
10's going to put you on the cusp.
10's going to put you right. Like, are you going to win the tiebreakers? Where are you going to land? You have to get at least 10, if not
at least 10.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
I think 11 will get you in. 11 gets you right in. Let's go to
anywhere between 10 and 12.
Adam in Staten Island. This is Ira's son. Adam, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, guys. Good morning, company. Dave, I got to call you out on something.
Okay.
All right, man. I want to know if the reverse would also be true on Father's Day. If you guys are hanging out and you say, well, it's my day, and she says, well, you're not my father, what's the reaction? I don't think it's going to be pretty.
I would be fine with that. In fact, last year, Sherry,
they
left the whole day. They didn't even spend the day with me.
No, dude.
You're asking me a question. I'm answering it. And now you're like, no. Sherry and Alex went away to a lacrosse tournament. I didn't see them almost the entire day. They got home at like 9 o'clock last year.
Okay. But that's because there was an event.
Right.
Or because you wanted them out of the house.
No. What do you mean? Why would I want them out of the house?
I don't know. It's Father's Day. Don't you get something? I mean, there's no expectation on Father's Day that you get treated a little better.
Of course, as did Sherry.
Adam, he gets treated like a veal every day of his life.
I'm like a Kobe beef.
Yeah, you're like a Kobe beef.
I should be treated well. I'm a terrific guy. I'm a good
fed
father. I'm a good husband.
Hold around. On. Rick, veal and Kobe beef, very different treatments.
Right, exactly right. Different endings, but he does nothing.
What does that mean? I do as much, if not more, than you do around the house.
No.
You clean toilets?
Yeah. Yes.
That's disgusting. You should not be cleaning toilets.
I wear gloves.
You clean toilets.
Yeah, my niece plugged the toilet up last night. I had to go in there, plunge it, clean it.
Oh, please, anybody can plunge. An idiot can plunge. I'm asking clean.
I cleaned it after I plunged it.
Just making yourself sound worse and worse.
Yeah, because he doesn't even understand.
You're above cleaning toilets now?
He doesn't realize.
Not above cleaning toilets.
He probably pee standing up. There's probably pee shrapnel everywhere.
What do you mean I probably pee standing up? You're the only guy that sits down when they pee.
Because I'm respectful.
Well, I only sit when I pee at home.
Who do you think cleans up the spray all over the place? Your wife?
All right.
Well, have you ever looked underneath the toilet seat?
Well, no. Probably. Why would I look everywhere underneath the toilet seat?
Because some people have to when they clean the toilet, like me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How is this all getting done if
Sherry's doing it?
No, but she's recovering from leg surgery.
Right. She hops around, and Dave just sits there on his
she's
throne.
She's 5 weeks in. She shouldn't be bending down to clean
on his
toilets.
Throne and does nothing.
My throne.
Yeah, your throne. You think you're King Farouk.
Guess who made egg whites for dinner last night?
Stop. You made egg whites.
Beautiful.
It was a box of egg whites. You poured into a pan.
So?
Well, don't. I mean, this is not.
So what?
You're making fresh bread.
It comes in a box.
Yeah, it comes in a box. You're not making fresh bread.
So what?
What do you mean, so what?
You just don't get it.
I understand.
I can do everything.
No.
Everything.
I hope Sherry treats you like garbage on Father's Day.
Here's the thing.
I hope you want to just relax. And she goes, no, you got to go run to the store. And you say, no, it's Father's Day.
That's ridiculous.
And she goes, you're not my father. Get to the store.
No. Yeah. I didn't have her doing chores and errands.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
The story that seems to kind of be a big story right now is what went on with that second home run with Aaron Judge. And again, you can't deny. Like, whatever you think the rationale behind it was, there was obviously chattering going on in the Yankees clubhouse or in the dugout, and he peeked over numerous times over and over and over. And I don't see why it's a bad thing if, in fact, the Yankees had stolen the signs and figured them out. But for some reason, people look at that as like a black mark, that if you've done something like that, now you're cheating the game of baseball.
Well, not necessarily has to be the signs either. I mean, it doesn't have to be. I mean, the guy could be pitched in. The pitcher could be tipping his pitches.
Sure.
And they just found something.
He sets
and they
up
were
his
using.
Body language in a certain way, and then you can figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, he threw them all sliders. Hey, let's focus before we get to the whatever, the peaky or whatever you want to do. Let's focus on quickly. You mentioned good game, right?
They played great.
Toronto's a good team, and they hate you, and I'm not even a Yankees fan. Toronto drives me crazy, too. I don't know what it is about them. They just, for some reason, that team drives me crazy. Yankees offense so far in May. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
So in May, they've scored 83 runs, which is tied for second. They have 29 home runs, which is first. 82 RBI, which is second. Slugging percentage, first. OPS, third. So the offense is...
It's clicking.
Is doing
and
what
Judge
you expect
is back
to
judging kind of things.
And Rizzo
Judge
is,
when he came back from the IL, he was not great right away.
And Rizzo's been red hot.
Red hot. And red Bader hot. Has been terrific. And remember that lineup? You'd look at the lineup, and we would go through it, and be like, oh, God. Like 5-9 is awful. Now you look at the lineup, and that's a lineup.
Yeah, that's a lineup. It's going to be tough to navigate too, and it's got a couple pieces in that lineup that add something that you haven't had. And they played good defense last night.
You see that catch Anthony Volpe made.
Whoa. Bowers made a nice catch and left, but
he's a nice little spark plug guy. Bowers
is nice. I think they like him a lot.
Yeah, it seems to.
Yeah. So I mean, all in all, really good game, nice win. The Judge thing. Now, I said this to start the show, and I'll say it again. I don't consider it cheating. If it was Anthony Rizzo or somebody in the dugout that knew that Jay Jackson had something he was doing, that he was tipping his pitches, and they wanted to use that, I got no problem with it. The fact that Aaron Judge could actually do that in the moment, take his eyes off the pitcher, and still be able to get himself ready to hit and hit a 462-foot home run, good on him. The only thing I don't buy is the story afterwards.
That's what they're going to tell you.
That's it.
Because that fits their narrative.
I don't think it was cheating. I don't buy the story.
Well, what would you continuously look into the dugout, side-eyed, over and over and over, if you were just annoyed that your guys were making noise in the dugout? That makes zero.
I don't think you would.
It makes zero sense.
Because I think you would wait. To the point the one caller made about, you know, he actually attacked us, that, you know, how hard it would be to take your attention away from the pitcher and then bring it back and try to hit. So why would you do that then? Like, what would you be gaining? I know you're the captain of the team and everything else, but there's no way during an at-bat you would jeopardize the at-bat by taking your eyes off the pitcher to make sure you can tell who in the dugout is making noise that's bothering you so you can hold them accountable afterwards. You were looking for a reason, and the reason was you were getting information that was going to help your at-bat.
Which is fine.
And I have no problem.
If you notice that his right knee faces in a different direction or whatever, there's nothing
Every
wrong.
Time he throws a slider, he does this.
Right.
So, you know, Someone over, if it's Rizzo in the batter's box, whoever it is, in the on-deck circle that sees it, take a quick glance over. They have some kind of sign.
Right. You know, they're throwing a helmet up in the dugout or whatever. I actually think that's smart baseball. I think it's stupid baseball. Now, if you're tapping into their pitch comm, you know, that's different. But if you're doing something where you're able to figure out what they're throwing and it's within what is considered to be the norm of baseball, fine. But Yankee fans, you hear, we haven't had one Yankees fan who's called up and said that they think he could possibly either be doing it or that there's anything wrong with it. They're going to defend their guy to the nth degree. All I say is this. If it was Vlad, if it was Bichette, if it was anybody else, if the roles were reversed, the calls would be very different.
Probably, but it wouldn't change my opinion of it.
No, I don't think it would. No. I don't think it should. But I'm just saying, like, this is what you do. It's like, it's your kid. So now it's your kid, and you're going to take their side. If it was the same situation and another kid, you're going to still take your kid's side.
Yeah, you're probably right. I just think, though, for me, it's not unless you found out that something... You know, something shady was going on. You mentioned the pitch combo, or whatever it was, that wasn't above board. Yeah, of course, that's a different story. But, I mean, every indication, this is the first time we've seen him do it. It was the Toronto broadcast that noticed it. And it was multiple times. So there had to be some reason that you're doing it. And it wasn't because you wanted to because you were upset that they were chirping from the dugout.
It doesn't make sense. Here's Aaron Judge. Thoughts on what the Jays announcers were saying.
Yeah, it was kind of a lot of chirping from our dugout, which I really didn't like in the situation where it's a 6-0 game, and I know Booney got tossed. Like, I was trying to save Booney by calling timeout. Like, hey, hold up here. Like, let me work here. So I was kind of trying to see who was chirping in the dugout. So it's 6-0. Like, Booney got tossed. Let's go to work now.
Again, I don't think it's a big deal, but yeah, I mean, in my opinion, you're lying. You're lying. You're telling me that every single pitch, you're like, let me look right into that dugout and see who's making noise.
It sounds silly.
Right before every pitch.
Right. I mean, it sounds silly. I thought it when I first heard it. Now hearing it again, I think the same thing. I think it's a silly excuse.
It's amateurish is what it is.
But well, okay, how do you describe what you're doing?
So he's not going to come out and say like, oh yeah, I was looking and we had their pitches, right? You're not going to say that. What should he say?
I don't even know what you would say in that moment. I mean, probably what you should say is, listen, I mean, he was tipping his pitches. We found something that we could use. I just think he doesn't know, because of what's going on in baseball, where that line is.
Well, that's well within. I think that's well within.
Well, I know what you think, and you know what I think. But, I mean, there's a lot of people that even when the whole Houston Astros thing came out, I mean, we kept taking phone calls, and I talked to a bunch of people in baseball that thought, you know, once you get a runner on base is when you can start utilizing stealing signs.
Yes.
Because you've earned the right to do it because now you're on base.
And now you're on second base, and now you can look in and see what the catcher's
where he's lined up, whatever you want to do, however you're doing it. But this is, I mean, for me, it's always been the same. It's a skill in baseball. Everyone's looking for an edge. There are certain guys that are just really good at it. Carlos Beltran was really good at it. That they can and notice things that you would, like, you could watch baseball every day for the rest of your life and have a guy that's just good at, that would notice something, you'd be like.
Right. Well, they're baseball lifers,
and they'd
right?
have
this
to point
is, this
it
is
out
what they
to
do.
You.
This is what they've always done.
Like, this
they
guy was
the
moving. It's like, I even watching some of the segments where they show, like, you've seen stuff where it's a Yankees game or a Mets game. They're like, you know, the conversation after the game was, you know, was he tipping his pitches? And then one of the guys will break it down, and you're watching him. He's like circling things. And you're like, how would you notice?
Because the geniuses.
Yeah,
with
like
that
how
stuff.
Would you notice that?
Because they have like MBAs in pitch tipping.
So if you can use it, as long as you're not using
I have no issue, none. Let's see what the people think. Perry, Jersey City. Good morning, Perry. You're on 98.7.
Hey, so I was reading the Athletic this morning, and they were teasing the whole cheating thing. And at the end of the story, they say, So how come if the Yankees were cheating, none of the other players were looking in the dugout, you know, guys who would need more help than Judge? You know, if we're talking about gamesmanship, how about the way the catcher pulled that ball up a few pitches before that was not even close to a strike and fooled the umpire into thinking that it was?
Well, that's what you're supposed to do, Perry.
Nobody gets more non-strikes called against them than Judge.
That's true. That's absolutely true, Perry. And that's why Aaron Boone always loses his mind. Because
and he lost it last night again.
Yeah, that's pitch framing. I mean, that's it's part of the reason. I mean, catchers are, there's stats about pitch framing.
But that's why there's concern that some of the better catchers won't even be able to catch in this league when they eventually go to the robotic umpires.
Well, it's going to marginalize the skill, right? I mean, that's the whole reason why you're willing to have a catcher on one knee and give up his ability to block the baseball because you're trying to steal strikes.
Exactly that. But I don't think those are apples to apples whatsoever.
No, I don't think so either. Well, I think on their own without anything kind of the whole tipping pitches and sign stealing and everything else, if that just was what it was and what it had been, where it's you notice something and you relay it to the hitter as opposed to what it turned into, where it's cameras and trash cans and potentially buzzers and all that other stuff. Yeah, that's different. But it's ultimately, we used to say it all the time in locker rooms, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Like everyone's trying to find some kind of edge,
nothing wrong with it. But this idea that Aaron Judge would never do that and he's above, you know, finding out what's going to be thrown is just...
Well, maybe he's capable of doing it. I mean, he said he was the only one. Look, well, maybe he can do it and some guys can't. Like, you heard the whole Astros thing, right? Like, I mean, Altuve was one of the guys that said his teammates would back up. He didn't want it. Like, maybe guys aren't capable of doing that.
Maybe they're not.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Let's get to some of the calls. People lined up, 1-800-919-3776. Nick in Staten Island. Nick, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
Just a quick point. You know, I agree that this Aaron Judge response was awful. There's about a million things he could have said that would have been better, but at the same time,
what do you think those would be? In actuality, like what could he say realistically that would be better than what he said?
I don't know, but what he said was obviously just like ridiculous. He's not looking to see who's making noise. That's not what was happening during your at bat. But he can't just come out and say, "Yeah, he's tipping pitches, and we know what he's going to throw," because this is game one of the series. There's a chance that we see this guy again the next three games, and we still need to use this to our advantage if that's what's going on. And let the Blue Jays go figure out these tipping pitches and let them figure out how to stop it. We can't just come out and kind of give away what we're doing.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think that could be part of it. I mean, I also think, though, you run the risk if you admit that, leaving it up to people's own interpretation of whether or not they think that's cheating.
Well, I agree that I think that that's why he needs to have a tightened up response. Obviously, there's some time between when the game ends and before he goes to speak to the reporters. There's got to be some sort of conversation of, hey, maybe this is how we respond to this versus I'm looking in the dugout to check who's making noise. That's obviously not.
But I don't know what he can say that you'll be like, oh, you know what? That's legit. That's a fair point.
Agree. But there's, you know, 30 other guys in the clubhouse. I think between one of them, you know, they could figure out something that's better than that. But maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I think that was. I don't know. I'm with Dave. I don't know what you would say. I mean, Booney backed them up. But, I mean, I guess in that moment, because, I mean, of what happened with Booney coming out, getting himself kicked out, they weren't happy with the strike zone. I'm sure they were chirping that seemed like...
Oh, I know they were chirping.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, we'll use this. I just think if you admit it, now all of a sudden you leave yourself open to whether or not
people... You can't admit it. Because if Toronto looks at... you're talking about, are they going to throw at him? Like, things start happening. You're not going to admit it.
Well, I don't even think it's throwing at him. I just think it's, I mean... I don't know how people react to it. Did you think, in all honesty, and this is way back though, did you think people were going to react the way they reacted to deflated footballs? Like it was that big of a deal?
No.
No, but no. They did.
Well, and I think they did also because it was New England.
Right, but this is the Yankees. It's Aaron Judge.
Right, I understand.
So if you're looking for a way to tear him down, which usually is what happens, right? We build you up and then we tear you down.
Right.
And I... The fact that the Toronto broadcast brought it up and then kind of just left it out there, we don't want to assume, we don't want to insinuate anything,
and by the way, those guys, you know, this is not just two hack broadcasters, right? I mean, Dan Shulman and Buck Martinez are as respected as there is in the game of baseball. Buck Martinez is highly respected. Shulman is a pro's pro.
Right, and Buck probably knows what's happening. Like, he could have said, oh, he's probably tipping pitches. And someone in the dugout figured it out, or Rizzo figured it out.
Right.
It almost looked like the way Rizzo kind of turned his back, that it might have been...
He figured it out.
Then Rizzo that had figured it out. Because if you, I mean, think about that. If you're like this, and Aaron stands real open with both eyes facing the pitcher, and he glances like this, like, it'd be hard to glance all the way over at the dugout and pick something up quick, as opposed to someone kind of like...
Yeah, that's that far away. Unless you're doing something so obvious.
Well, if I'm standing like this, and you're Rizzo in the on-deck circle, like, it's easier for me to kind of glance over and see you than it is...
Have you ever, ever seen a guy glance into the dugout for any reason, actually?
Like that? No.
Never?
No, I mean, it's never been brought to our attention either, but I just know. I've never watched the game where that's been brought up.
But you could, like, you've watched the game closely. Have you ever seen eyes darting in different directions during an at-bat? You have? Like that?
Yeah, well, not at the dugout. I mean, guy steps out, he looks at third base.
Steps out, but he wasn't even stepped out.
Let me finish, though. And then also, if a guy is considering where, I mean, if you're going to lay down a bunt, right, you'll kind of take a glance over to see where a guy with a first baseman is, where the third baseman is. Or, like, as the guy's getting ready to throw, kind of take a peek at the first baseman, right. Put one down here, but not into the dugout like that.
Not like that. Anthony in Roxbury. Good morning, Anthony.
Morning, guys. How we doing?
Good.
Listen, so on the judge thing and his comments after the game, if it's true that they were picking up his pitches, and he was tipping his pitches, this is a reliever on the Blue Jays that they're going to see again in this series later in the year. If it was something that they wanted to, and we're saying this isn't cheating, if it's something that they want to utilize later on in the year, later on in the season, in this series, you know, you would say something like that after the game, just so that the reliever and the Blue Jays wouldn't realize that, oh, maybe my pitcher was tipping pitches, something like that.
Well, I think they realize it now, though, Anthony.
And Toronto's not stupid.
Yeah, right. Like, I mean, they probably, I mean, listen, I don't disagree with you. Why would you admit to it? I mean, make it harder on them. Make them figure it out if he was tipping his pitches. Make them put the work in to figure out what he was doing. The other thing is, he threw 6 straight sliders, and the last one was a bad one.
Terrible. But he knew, I don't know, didn't it kind of feel like he knew that was coming?
And he also, I mean, yeah,
hit
he
it
also
I mean,
hung
longest,
it.
Longest home run of his career?
Yeah, but again, I don't know other than, again, I'll say this is my, and I'm standing by this. If you're going to tell me, and I still play baseball, then I'm going to stand there, I'm going to take my eyes off the pitcher and then try to get them back and react to a pitch. The only reason I'm doing that is if the reason I'm taking my eyes off the pitcher and putting them into the dugout or the on-deck circle is because you're giving me something that's going to help me with this at-bat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to take my attention away from trying to hit, which
over
is tough enough.
Over and over and over again, right. Mind you.
Right. Hitting is tough enough. Now I'm gonna take my eyes, look over to my right, and then try to get myself refocused and try to react to a pitch.
Right, and then after the next pitch, I'll do it again. And by the way, this is what I don't understand. When the at-bats, he did it right away.
Yeah, or how about this?
Before Boone got thrown out, before he came out, before anything, the judge was doing that.
Is this crazy, though? If you're that upset, you have time. Hey, I know you get to 8 seconds, right?
Right.
Fellas.
Yeah.
Come on. Shut up.
Yeah. One foot in the box, 1 foot out of the box, and the how about the you know
hey,
guys
no,
and,
just say, and hey,
stop it.
Hey, enough. That's it.
You're Aaron Judge, you're the captain of the team.
Wanted to take a peek.
I'm gonna peer in.
Because the guys were chirping.
That's right. I went to who was chirping. So when I hit the home run around the bases, get back in that dugout, really strong conversation.
I want Buster Olney on now. Call him.
He doesn't respond.
Call him.
To
you have a cell phone, call him.
You want me to text him?
I want you to text him immediately. Tell him we need him. One question.
One,
you, two.
Hey, Buster, how you doing? It's Ricky Pietro calling.
First of all, you have that on your conscience. And second of all, you can't do the one question.
One question each.
What's your question going to be?
About the Mets. Or potentially a follow-up to the Yankees question.
See now, this is what's going to happen.
I'm cutting myself off. One question. You can shut my microphone. RJ, you can shut my microphone on if I try to get silly. It's the least you could do for me after I cut that pineapple up so beautifully.
You did a great job. So I have an update on Buster.
Oh, wait, hang on. Go ahead before I send this text.
Yeah, he got back to me.
And?
Today, not possible.
Why?
Dentist.
He can't step aside from the dentist for 5 minutes.
However, he offered up tomorrow.
I guess.
So I ask you, do we want him tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll take him because he's Buster.
But it's
we love
so
him,
timely right now.
Right now,
numerous Busters doing different things.
He said at the dentist.
He's
right now.
Currently at the dentist.
Mm-hmm. So he tell him have the dentist assistant put the phone up to him while his mouth is.
What happens if he has Novocaine? He's like, oh, I think
that's
fine. I have
no problem with
that.
That. It's Buster only, man.
Yeah, but if you can't make out what he's saying, he's dribbling all over. It'd be a bad look, though.
I wonder if his gums are as elite as mine.
You have a nice gum?
I was told I had a Malite flosser.
Malite flosser?
Malite.
Really? Yeah.
It's better than elite.
It's a step up from elite when you're...
You don't even know what it is.
You're now Malite.
Have you ever heard that?
A Malite flosser? No, I never have.
Right.
Never have. Because
you're not Malite.
I'm not a Malite flosser. You're accurate. Ty in Queens. Good morning, Ty. You're on 98.7.
Hey, morning, boys. How are you?
What's going on?
I just wanted to comment about the Aaron Judge situation last night. I totally agree with you guys that... First of all, if they still sign, you know, legally, like, you know, the way it's been done for years, totally fine. I just wanted to, I guess, throw out an idea. Maybe, like, Judge is telling the truth. That's what he was looking in the dugout for. Like, throughout his whole career, he's been this stand-up guy, you know, like, and he, throughout his career, he never, like, gets into it with umpires. It's very, very rare that he complains about balls and strikes. And it's not his way. He doesn't like it. So maybe he really was just trying to tell the guys, like, stop. Like, his track record would be, like...
Yeah, but Ty, why don't you tell the guy stop
there?
Yeah, but why not tell, like, they're supposed to be paying attention, like, oh, look, he just glared over to the dugout. Oh,
look, Glaber, look. Aaron, he put his eyes into the corner of his...
He's going to know it was you.
Right. So
you better shut up.
You better stop.
Yep.
If you, Osvaldo, you better stop. He peered over.
I'm always looking at eyes, because I can see everything in your eyes.
Joe Judge. Joe Judge.
Now that's different.
Different story.
That's right. One different first name... Completely different story.
Believe
Joe
word.
Judge sees everything within the eye.
Everything.
The eye. The retina. He loves the eye. He's like an ophthalmologist. He missed his calling. Optometrist, right?
He would have just quit the at-bat.
Read the bottom line.
He would have just quit the at-bat.
That'd be it. Joe Judge again. Put your right hand over your eye.
I can't hit with two strikes. I'm done.
I'm out. Let's go to Gil in Manhattan. Good morning, Gil.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I just want to know why everything has to be so nefarious. I mean, Aaron Judge has never complained about a call. All these athletes these days are always complaining. Why can't he just be looking in the dugout telling his guys to zip it and then hit a home run? Why can't he be telling the truth?
Why would he look into the dugout, though, Gil? I love Aaron Judge, too, but
because
why?
Because they're all chirping.
Yeah, but why multiple times,
Booney
though?
Just,
so why Booney was he looking, why was he looking into the dugout? Gil, why was he looking into the dugout before Boone got thrown out?
That's a good question. Yeah. I didn't notice him looking in before. I thought it was only after Boone got thrown out. And, you know, he's setting a good example. All these athletes these days complaining about calls, and the NBA especially.
Gil, we don't think
Judge
if he
man.
Was doing...
He never complains. He
we
never
don't think if he's doing what we said he was doing. We have zero issue with it. But we believe it happened. I mean, that's fair, right?
Yeah, I just have a hard time as a former athlete believing that in the midst of an at-bat, that would be the time where you want to start looking over to the dugout to try to send a message to you guys to keep it quiet.
And would you send that message that way?
Well,
that's
Hicks
how you send a message?
Listen, Jay Jackson comes in. Hicks struck out. Bauer struck out. And then Aaron Judge sees six straight sliders. Last one being the worst of the six.
Yep.
But I just don't... It doesn't seem reasonable to me that the reason why during an at-bat, you're like, I don't even know how I would put that into like a real life for me as a hockey player. Like if my guys from the bench were chirping during like a shootout and it was bothering me, I'm not gonna start shooting glances over to the bench while I'm trying to make a save on a breakaway.
Especially through a mask.
I come over afterwards. I'm like, hey, fellas, come on.
Or you know what?
Or after
right
the game.
Away, you hold up your gloves. You're like, shut up.
Enough.
Shut up.
Yeah, no, whatever it is. But I just don't.
Subtle clues to be quiet, right?
It's hard enough to hit as it is.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.